Before we dive into the sermon, let me go ahead and pray for us, pray for the church, pray for grace, and just pray. Is that all right? Great. God, we come before you, thanking you, Lord, for the gift that you've given us in grace. And we ask, Lord, that you would continue to be with us as a community, that you would continue to lead and guide us as only you can. We pray, Lord, even in this time and space, as we come before you to hear how your spirit is speaking to us, we ask, God, that you would open our minds, that you would open our hearts, that you would open our ears, eyes, so that we might be able to hear, see, smell, taste your goodness and how you are continuing to speak to us, your beloved. We continue to honor you, God, in this space and ask that you would be glorified with what we do in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. So we're continuing the sermon series, Genesis Origins. Sorry, forgot the name of it. So let me go ahead and read the passage for today. And it's from Genesis 1. And it says, "In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the water." In verse 26, it says, "Then God said, 'Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth.'" God created humankind in their image. In the image of God, they created them. Male and female, God created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." Verse 31, "God saw everything that God had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day." Last week, Pastor Kevin began the series Genesis, the origin story. And in his sermon, he spent time unpacking who God is and why God created. He took time last week to teach about the history of the creation story against the backdrop of the ancient Near Eastern culture. He shared about the various ways of interpreting the creation narrative, including seeing how many Christians read Genesis 1 as a poetic and theological narrative rather than a scientific account, and how many draw from that narrative various aspects that are still true and helpful. If you want to hear more about those aspects of the creation narrative, I encourage you to revisit Pastor Kevin's sermon from last week. This week, we will focus on what happened on day 6 of creation, when God created humanity in God's image and likeness. In verse 26, it says, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness." While these are words we know well, we don't all the time see or treat one another as God's image bearers. In fact, more times than not, we treat one another as other. This has led to wars, systemic oppression, violence, and so much more. After 11 days of fighting and bombing, there is a ceasefire in Gaza. And we know that in those 11 days, nearly 250 people, 100 of which are women and children, were killed in airstrikes against Gaza. And while the bombs have stopped, We also understand that those children and families who survived and those who lost loved ones will forever be shaped as they've witnessed how their lives were not valued, cared about, or seen as others, a casualty of war. Over these last few weeks, we've listened as Liviera, Cindy, and Chris have shared their narratives and stories and the ways in which they have been treated as others, as the perpetual foreigner, misrecognized and not seen for who they truly are. We've seen the violence escalated on God's beloved of Asian descent, from verbal insults to physical assaults and murder, because people have chosen to minimize their humanity and define folks as others. Can you all hear me all right? Cool. Over this past year, we've been reminded of the ways those of us who entered into the world in Black bodies are demonized. And it seems as though every other week, there is a new hashtag created to call to mind the names of those murdered and to remind the world that Black lives matter. In our nation, little Black kids are not recognized as kids, but are vilified and their image distorted to fit a narrative used to justify their continued oppression and violence done to their little Black bodies. According to the National Center for Transgender Equality, the number of transgender folks who were murdered under suspicious circumstances increased in 2020. And this still impacts Black and Latina trans women even more so than others. Children of Hispanic and Latin American descent have been locked in cages, and some are just now being reunited with families, while women were sterilized in these detention centers. Those who wrestle with their mental health are often criminalized and locked away, and those who are disabled are looked over and denied access. I could go on, and so could you, recounting the many ways in which the humanity of some is often denied, as seen as others, as people are seen as others, less than, while the humanity in some is seen as good, and as though they should be treated as fully created in the image of God. Yet when we turn to Genesis 1, we don't see God making a distinction between some humans as other and some as God's beloved. Rather, in these verses, we see God creating humanity in God's image and likeness and calling it all good. In this declaration, God reminds us that we are all created in the image of God. In this verse, God makes the declaration to God's triune self that humans will be created in the Shalom Elohim, in the image according to their likeness. The word shalim means in the image or shadow, while the phrase likeness focuses on substance and nature, helping us to see and understand a unique relationship that is being formed with God and humanity, and then us with one another. One theologian believed the image of God, or Imago Dei, was reflected in three different parts: God's natural image, a spiritual being endowed with understanding, freedom of will, and various affections, and God's political image, the governor of this lower world having dominion over the fishes of the sea and over the earth, and in God's moral image in righteousness and true holiness and full of love. A few years ago, I went to this retreat at St. John University, where the St. John Illumination Bible was on display and working to be finalized. And if you ever get an opportunity to go see it, you have to go see it in person. And the purpose of the Illumination Bible is to bring scripture to life with images and pictures and artworks to illuminate what is being said. And one of the earliest decisions that the artists made when they were working on this is that when they wanted to think about or refer to God, they wanted to use gold And the purpose of using gold was so that whoever looked at the pages, they would look and see themselves reflected back in the images on the pages and be reminded that they were in fact created in the image of God and as such reflect back to the world God's image. That's what it means to be created in the image of God. In verse 27, we learn that God creates humans, plural, both male and female. And in this, we are reminded that both male and female are created as equal, and each reflecting God's image fully. It is easy to assume that God broke off a piece of himself and put a female part in a female body and a male part in a male body. But that's not the case. And on another day, in another time, we can sit and have a whole conversation about gender from a biological and social constructed point of view, but we're not going to get into that today. As one commentator reminds us, the image of God was not given to humankind in bits and pieces, with some living in our left arm and another bit in your soul, or another bit in your ability to argue and reason. It is a gift that resonates throughout all that we are, like the deep tones of a bell rung far away. It awakens us and moves us forward toward God and toward one another. Essentially, we each reflect the image of God. And as we come together, we see just how amazing and big and uncontainable God's image is. And as one who identifies as female and who's often treated as an afterthought, I find comfort knowing that I reflect the image of God fully. I reflect the image of God in the same way that those who identify as male do. If I'm married or if I'm single, I am whole and able to reflect the image of God to the world. And while it still brings comfort to me, as I study and read this passage, I couldn't help but wonder if those who are non-binary would see themselves reflected in the image of God as well. Beloved, for a long time in my life, I looked at the world as black and white, as binary, where things had to be either or. And in that worldview, things were either right or wrong. And it's easy to look at the creation account and see all the binaries, the either ors. On day one, there's day and light. On day two, there's the sky above and the sky below. On day three, there's the waters and the land. While on day four, there's one light to govern the day and one to govern the night. And on day five, there are the creatures in the sea. And on day six, the creatures of the land and male and female. And it seems as though it is laying out this nice, neat binary. Yet we know that in between day and night, there is a spectrum. We have dawn and dusk, noon, midnight, twilight. It all exists. When we look up at the stars at night, we are reminded there are lesser lights outside of the sun and moon. Even though each star is not named, it still exists. We just haven't always had the ability to see and acknowledge it. Some shine bright and give way to constellations in the sky that have guided folks for centuries. And there are times when we experience a solar eclipse and both of the lights are present in an interesting way. I remember one day when Kaylin was maybe about 2 or 3 and she asked, "I thought the moon only came out at night." And we said, "It does." And she asked, "Well, why do I see it now?" And to be honest, I hadn't ever really recalled looking up in the day and noticing the moon shining, but it happens a lot more than we think. We know that there are places where dry land and water meet, creating marshes and swamps. We know there are creatures who live in the sea and give birth to their young on the land. And when these things occur, we don't dismiss them and say that it is outside of God's creation, but instead we embrace and accept it. We let the marsh be the marsh and the twilight be the twilight. A study conducted in Turkey in 2019 found that 1 in 1,000 folks are born intersex, which differs from other studies that previously reported that 1 in 2,500 folks were born intersex, which is those born both biologically male and female. And whether it is closer to 1 in 1,000 or 1 in 2,500, what we are realizing is that often doctors were making choices and assigning newborns a gender and removing any indication that they were intersex, often without even the parent ever really knowing. This reminds us that the truth it's not just male and female created in the image of God, but it is those who are intersex, those who are non-binary as well. When God created humans, we are on a spectrum in a lot of different ways. It's all a part of God's creation and what it means to be created in the image and likeness of God. And just because it's not explicitly named doesn't deny that it is. We don't have a list of all the animals, but we don't doubt their existence or question if they're a part of God's creation. So neither should we question or deny the humanity, dignity, and the image of God in our siblings who are intersex or non-binary, because they too are just as much a full reflection of the image of God as people who are male and female. Beloved, how we treat one another says a whole lot about how we understand who God is, and the reverse is true. Our understanding of who God is informs and shapes how we perceive one another. And I think sometimes we don't fully see ourselves, we don't see others either. Sometimes we don't feel like we are worthy enough to be seen as God's image bearers. And we have spent so much time believing the narratives about ourselves that we see that we can't see the belovedness in others. But beloved, that is not the case. Each and every one of us have been created in the image of God to be a reflection of God. Our understanding of who God is informs and shapes how we then perceive ourselves and one another and even the rest of God's creation. Verse 31 tells us that just like every other part of creation, what was created on day 6 was good. When God created humans, at the end, God stepped back, reflected, and declared, indeed, it was very good. God's declaration is a pronouncement of God's pleasure and goodness seen in humanity. And as those created in the image of God, we have to know that we're a good creation. God does not make a distinction and say that those of privilege are good, that those of able body are good, that those with lighter skin are good. No, God simply declares a goodness upon humanity as a whole. Upon creation and all that God created was indeed very good. Near the end of Genesis 1, we see that God empowers creation to continue the creative activity by blessing it to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. But if our understanding of God is clothed in a power-hungry God seeking to conquer the world, we end up with ideas like manifest destiny that dehumanize First Nation folks and justify the taking of their home and land and trying to eliminate them as part of God's plan. And even though Kevin mentioned the ways we've wrongly interpreted this idea of subdue and dominion, it's worth repeating because it's been weaponized too often. The better translation is to steward, to take care of. And when you think of the image of a garden, doesn't that make a heck of a lot more sense? As those created in the image of God, we have a responsibility to care for and steward the earth and all of creation. The Message translation uses the phrase, be responsible for. We have a responsibility to continue to reflect God's goodness in how we engage with one another, creation, and the world. But if we misunderstand who God is, we'll spend more time taking from one another, creation and the earth instead of caring, tending, stewarding, and being responsible for. Beloved, we are created in the image of God and are invited to follow the proclamation in verse 28 to be fruitful and multiply. And it's not simply a command to have kids. Thank God, because some people don't want to have kids, right? I love my kids, but I know they ain't for everybody. We got to say amen to that. But to co-create, to utilize the gifts and skills and talents given to us by God. That's what it means to be fruitful and multiply, to be co-creators in the world in a way that reflects God's goodness. Regardless of what you are, or who you are, and what talents you have. And if we are to continue to co-create in this world with God, then we should look to God and the rhythms we see God utilizing in order to help shape our practices of how we live and create in the world. We see as the creation narrative unfolds, each day has this type of rhythm where God reflects and imagines. God speaks and creates. God sees and he takes it in. God steps back and takes it in. God declares its goodness. And then God stops and rests. What we see is this rhythm of creation. In this rhythm of creation is space for ending and stopping. Resting that isn't just a rhythm observed at the end of the week, but done daily. We must learn to follow those rhythms as we engage in the world. We must reflect, to have space to imagine and be creative. Then we can co-create and work. When we embody these practices, it will help us to see there is more than enough and lead us to move to be more caring versus trying to conquer. And we must learn to have new eyes to see the goodness and learn when to stop and let what we have done for the day be enough and know that it is good. And as those created in the image of God, we have to begin to see who God says that we are and know that we are God's good creation. As you all know, Kaylin turned 14 last week. And I do birthdays big because it's like your personal holiday, right? And so a few weeks ago, we were going to the store to get some supplies for her socially distanced celebration with a few friends. And as we walked into the store, she's nearly the same height as me. She actually is the same height as me, but don't tell her because I don't want to believe that truth just yet. And she looked over at me and I thought, oh my goodness, she's growing up so much. She's going to be in high school next year. And I started to wonder, oh, I wonder if people are going to start to ask, are you guys sisters? Which happened with me and my mom. And as I walked into the store, I caught my reflection in the glass and I sighed. And in some ways, I just deflated. Kaylin somehow noticed this and asked, Mom, what's wrong? Are you okay? You just seem like you deflated. She thought I was worried about spending more money in the store. And I shared with her a bit of what was going on in my mind, which was when I saw what was reflected in the store glass, I didn't look and think, oh, that's good. I saw all my flaws, the weight I had gained, all my imperfections began to flood me, and I physically deflated, and my daughter saw. And it reminded me that I still have a ways to go to accepting myself fully. To keep learning to have radical self-love and embracing that my body is not something I need to apologize for, but need to simply embrace. It's a journey. Sonia Taylor, in her book, The Body is Not an Apology, argues that although both self-acceptance and body neutrality have its place, the unintended consequence can be an acquiescence to a reality that limits a deep level of love of self. She points out that we practice self-acceptance when we have grown tired of self-hatred, but can't conceive of anything beyond tolerating ourselves. Taylor instead says we need a radical self-love that goes deeper than self-confidence or self-esteem, For her, it requires the ability to understand the roots of how we have seen ourselves in relationship to our perceptions about our bodies and ourselves. This requires a radical approach that enables people to embrace and love our bodies and begin to understand why we believe them to be unworthy of love, honor, dignity, and respect. Radical self-love is our inherent nature. It's our inherent natural state, in the sense that when we entered into this world, we didn't hate ourselves. We had a sense of awe and self-discovery. Just look at the babies when they're around. When they look at a picture of themselves, the way they're at awe and wonder as they discover different parts of themselves. When we are able to return and embrace and see this, it leads to another component of radical self-love that then allows us to affirm it in others. It's about seeing and knowing the image of God. Beloved, I realize there are ways I've internalized narratives about myself, making it difficult to live authentically as myself. Which is why when my friend crocheted me this blanket for my birthday, I screamed and I cried because it reminded me to see myself and live unapologetically me, Tracy. To look at the reflection and know that it matches what's on the inside. And around my room, I've placed affirmations over to remind myself of the goodness. And I finally put a mirror on my wall so that every day I see my full body, my full self, and have space to declare and remember I am indeed created in the image and likeness of God as I continue to walk towards radical self-love. To be able to live as a reflection of God requires that we are able to live authentically as whole people without having pieces of who we are severed. One commentator put it this way: we can't be in right relationship with God and each other if we can't see ourselves and others. We can't be fully present in any relationship if we're walling off part of ourselves or hiding beneath a mask. So today, I want to invite us to do something. I want to invite us to stop and see ourselves. I can't see what's happening on site, so I hope you guys got the piece of paper that they were handing out at the beginning. But if you're at home, I want you to go grab a piece of paper or something to write with. I'll give you time. And this is what we're going to do. I'm going to play a song from an amazing film, Trolls. And we're going to do some things, right? What you're going to do is you're going to sit and look to God. And I want you to reflect on these questions that are on the screen. What are ways that it's been hard to see yourself as created in the image of God? What false narratives are you holding on to about yourself? What is God showing you about you, your goodness, and your belovedness? What image is God bringing to mind? And then I want you to write what you hear. So I'm gonna play a song and allow you. And now, beloved, I'm going to play the instrumental version. And what I want you all to do, if you're at home and you want, I want you to find a mirror. If you're in person, I want you to use your camera on your phone. And I want you to look at yourself, like really look at yourself. I know it's super hard, but try for just at least the whole minute. And as you do, I want you to ask, what walls have you put up so people can't see? What mask are you wearing so you can't even see yourself? What do you see? Who do you see? What have you named as imperfections that God is saying is perfectly imperfect, and that's a good thing? Why don't you write those down? Write down what God is saying to you. And now, beloved, I'm going to ask you to do something else. For those of you who are sitting on the rooftop, I want to ask you to stop facing the screen and to turn your chairs inward and face one another. If you're online, I want to ask you to turn your camera on. It's okay if you didn't comb your hair or get dressed yet. It's all good. And what I want us to do is to look at one another. And as you look at the faces across the screen, take a moment to see the images of God reflected on the screen, the images of God that you see reflected in your neighbor in the seat next to you. And as words come to mind, as you look at your siblings created in the image of God, I want you to write those affirming words in the chat or say them out loud so that we can hear what we see in regards to God's image. We're not going to put up that next slide, because then we won't be able to see each other. So again, you're gonna look at each other. Just take a moment to look at what's reflected on the screen. Take a moment to look at those sitting next to you, sitting to your right and to your left. And then begin to speak words of affirmation one to another. Just one word, or throw them in the chat. Beautiful. Gifted, spectacular, flawless, human, radiant, those being loved, creative, creators, royalty, growing, flawless, worthy, new life, divine, precious, nice. Us, capable, perfect, fresh shoots, everlasting, forgiven, and forgiving, technicolor. Beloved, we are enough, and we are created in God's image, and God says it is good. I pray that we would seek to daily live and affirm this in ourselves and all humanity as we live in the world. I'm gonna end with this proclamation from Baby Shug, one of my favorite preachers in Toni Morrison's book Beloved, where she says, "In this here place, we flesh, flesh that weeps, laughs, flesh that dances on bare feet in grass. Love it. Love your hands. Love them. Raise them up and kiss them. Touch others with them. Pat them together. Stroke them on your face. You gotta love it. You. This is flesh I'm talking about here. Flesh that needs to be loved, feet that need to rest and to dance, backs that need support, shoulders that need arms, strong arms, I'm telling you. This is flesh I'm talking about here. Flesh that needs to be loved. Beloved, you are created in the image of God. And we are all created in the image of God. I pray that we would seek to live in the world, caring for humanity and all that God has created. Amen.